Tonight I'm want to do something that we haven't done certainly in a long time. I'm not sure I needed to even do this at all over the course of the year. But you'll see from the nature of what I'm going to speak about that it's not just a statement of tonight I'm really just reminding myself of something important that you also happen to be sharing a part of now. But if anybody most of you do know me, so you'll see that it's something that's very important for me to always remind myself of, and it's very sensitive to my heart. A lot of years ago when we were learning in the Gris Kollel, and Jake might have told the story, it's really, we were all sitting there together when it happened. We were learning in the Beis Medrash in the Gris Kollel, and at the time there was somebody learning in the Beis Medrash, his name was Yossi. Yossi had I don't remember what the disease was exactly, he had a degenerative disease where he was really a fine teenager and a fine young man, and then all of a sudden slowly his body started falling apart to the point when he was in a wheelchair and he couldn't he lost his ability to speak and really to move as what we call regular people do. And a tremendous amount of mysterious nefesh on his parents' part, they hired a special ambulance that brought him from Beitar to Bayit Vegan every day so that he could learn. And there was a chavrusa that Rav Jake was involved in that he would listen in on, and he would participate to whatever he was able to, because his brain was totally functional. It's just his body movements were not quote unquote regular. And then one day they're sitting in the back of the Beis Medrash, and it was towards springtime, and it was getting hot as the seasons changed. It was getting hot again. And something was bothering Yossi, and he was very uncomfortable. Now Yossi had like one of those what do they call it, Ouija boards with all the letters on it, so that he could point. It was really just a chart of all the letters, and he was able. He communicated through his eyes. He moved his eyes up to the right when he wanted to acknowledge a positive, and so when you wanted to speak, so you would go. You know, is the letter in this row, is in this row, is in this row, and then when he got to the right row, so he would move his eyes, and then he went down the row to every letter. Anyway, so obviously it took quite a while for Yossi to communicate. And this particular day, so Jake says to him, Yossi, what's the matter? And he starts spelling out, is it this row, this row, this letter, this letter? Can you shut the shade? Now you can imagine how long it took for him to spell out the sentence. Can you close the shade? Because the sun was coming through the window and it was beating right on him. But he wasn't finished. It was clear that he did his motion for I still have something to say. And they're like, oh, yes, we shut the shade. Are you sure everything's something else you want to say? And he was shifting around. And then they started again. This row, this row, this row, this letter. P. Yeah, P. Can you? L. E. A. S. E. And after about 6 minutes, so he said he spelled out the word please, because even when it took him X amount of time to spit out a word, so he still communication with another human being. Was still of tantamount importance. And a lot of times, at least for myself, I know when it comes to the power of speech that we use it so often and we take it for granted that sometimes we forget to check it. I don't know if this is true, but I know I used to think that we have two eyes and we have two nostrils and two ears and one mouth. And it might be the reason why we have one mouth and not two mouths is because we have enough issue controlling one mouth and making sure that we're using the one mouth properly, that to have two mouths would probably be a little bit out of control. If you look at Onkelos on Vayipach Be'apav Nishmas Chayim, when God was first creating man, so it says Vayipach Be'apav, that God blew into man what we normally call the neshama, and Onkelos translates the neshama, the definition of human being, what makes him different than an animal. Onkelos translated as Ruach Memalala, as the power of speech. So the difference between us and animal is the fact that we have the ability to speak, and animals don't have the ability to communicate. but they don't have the same speech. And you know, sometimes when I talk to my kids and they're not in the mood, you know, especially when they're getting disciplined, they're not in the mood to communicate. So you get some grunts and you get some noises and you get some. The difference sometimes, even you know, the difference between a human being that acts like a human being versus a body walking around that's really an animal. So Unkelus defines it as somebody who knows the power of speech. So the reason why I was thinking about it this week is that last night I had an exchange with somebody in the yeshiva, and honestly, I was totally in the right. The person was chutzpah. He made a moronic comment, and you know, and I jibed him for it with a nasty comment in return, and he was deserving of it because it was chutzpah. But at the same time, I'm thinking, you know, sometimes you just gotta. Sometimes it pays to keep. Sometimes it just pays to keep your mouth shut. I was talking to a guy today about his brother. His brother in America, and it was astounding to me because I was thinking that I wanted to speak about this. This is one of your peers, and there was a certain sense that he was trying to say that was very sensitive about knocking other people, and it was clear to me that he wanted to say it in a specific way, and he was thinking through what he was about to say because he started the sentence three times before he said it in the way that we're not talking about you know, a Rosh Hashir. We're talking about one you know, a guy who's in Leva Torah, Shana Aleph, who is sensitive to the fact that we have to be careful with our definition of human being, with our power of speech. That not everything, it's not a free for all. Our mouths are not free for alls. It's and as I said, I know that I abuse it a lot of times also, and that's why I'm really just reminding myself as well that when it comes to power of speech. That's the definition of us as a human being. If we want to know how we're defined, so then the Chafetz Chaim writes, amongst other things that he writes, and we know that power of speech was very important to Chafetz Chaim. So Chafetz Chaim writes, you know, God's always with us. So now what happens is sometimes is that God's always listening to things that we're saying, because after all, as we just said, that defines who we are. So now, what happens if we're not using our mouth properly? So Akash Baruch is walking around with the remote. Looks a little bit like the air conditioning remote. You know, he walks around. He finds it in Rabbi Sitchin's room because that's where it normally is when we can't find it. And he's walking around with the remote and he's listening. And if you know, and when people are learning Torah, and when people are saying positive things, and when people are saying, I could be here. But when people are doing inappropriate things and it's not B'tahara, and Kadosh Baruch Hu can't stand it, so he takes out the remote and he mutes us. Now if you ever watch not in the computer room of course, but if you're watching a video on mute, sometimes it's like really funny, like you know, you don't hear any sound and you and you're watching the guys with the hand motions and doing this whole thing and you know and it's real. So sometimes this guy who's on mute then comes a situation that he's gonna have to daven. And when you really want to dive into something really important, it's like then we get like the really, you know, you get really, you know, we get really into it, and we're really, you know, we're pumping the fist and we're waving and we're clapping and banging and all, you know, and all sorts of things. And you know, and Akash Baruch was looking at him and he knows something important, but the guy's like, but he can't hear because the guy's on mute because we abused our power of speech, and it's not necessarily a situation that we. It's not a situation that we necessarily want to be in. So what do we do about it? So first of all, I know, and I haven't done this in a long time, and that's why again I'm calling myself out. Is that I know when I used to learn, there's a daily Chafetz Chaim Shmiras Halasha. So you learn a certain amount of halachos every day, and I think this is the way it is with any halacha. When I learn Hilchos Kriyas Shema, so I know that my Kriyas Shema is much better. And when I learn Hilchos Tefillin, my Tefillin's better. When you learn halachos, so and your mind is in that issue, so then that aspect of life becomes much stronger. So if we learn Hilchos Shmiras Halashon and we know that we need to watch what's coming out of our mouths. So when we're doing Hilchos Shmiras Halashon, when you learn the halachos, so sometimes that aids in our watching what we say. They have an English Shmiras Halasha now, a lesson a day, and you know it takes like 5 minutes. But just if our mind is on, and even better if you learn it in the Hebrew. But if our mind is on the issue of speech, so then you know how many times guys came over to me this year and said, you know, maybe you could go over and speak to so and so because you know he makes these jokes. Now we all do this. You make these jokes that we think are funny. But really, we're not sensitive to the person who's listening to them, because all that matters is that we think we're being funny. But it's of utmost importance that we, and again, I know that I do this, a ton. It's of utmost importance that we, that when we say jokes, especially, that we're sensitive. So if you learn Hilchos Shmiras Halashon, and my mind's already on the fact that, hey, maybe I should, I should watch what I'm saying. So that also, when it comes to those jokes, or when in those kinds of situations, so then we'll be a little bit more careful in when it's not worth it to be funny because it's sensitive. And I'm telling you, all those situations are, you know, I mean, I haven't seen it personally, but Shana Bet all over the world is gotten on because, how do you approach somebody else when you want to tell them that there's something, maybe they're doing something wrong? Because there needs to be a sensitivity to the receiver of our message, whether it be a joke, or whether it be a musser, or whether it be, anything that we're saying. Reb Nachman says that if the receiver of the message is not hearing what we're saying, so then it's as if we didn't say anything at all. Now, it can't be such a good thing for us to have words coming out of our mouths that aren't really words, especially if the definition of who we are is our speech. So that would mean that the definition of who we are is really nothing, and that's something that we certainly want to avoid. So the first thing that I would suggest is that maybe learn some Shmiras Halashon. Because first of all, for the halacha, so we know what's right or wrong, and secondly, just also so that our minds are in the right frame of mind. Secondly, the second maybe advice or help that I know that I need to focus on is when we say in Shmon Esrei every day, three times a day, Elokeinu Tzora L'shoni Meira. So if while we're saying Shmon Esrei, we're saying Elokai Hashem, please help me to Nitzor L'shoni Meira, to watch my tongue from saying anything bad. So if we're doing that and we have a reminder three times a day, and we're not just spitting it off because it's the end of Shmona Esrei, but we're integrating into our souls that I need to watch what comes out of my tongue again, because that's the definition of who I am. So if we integrate that into our being, so then we have a shot three times a day plus the one time that we're learning Shmiras Halashon. So then again, another reminder. But what was the most powerful experience for me in this realm, which I didn't think about until I said to myself, "Oh, what am I going to speak about tonight?" Is when I was learning in the Gross Kola, there was a yeshiva called BMT that was there, and I was learning with this guy Mikey in BMT. He had long hair. He had interesting facial hair. He came from family, but did not have such a great from experience. And he wasn't really so religious. And we started to learn together. We were learning Mesilas Yesharim. And I happened to know that he was enjoying the Chavrusa. I mean, Mikey had a bad habit that he smoked. I never smoked in my life, cigarettes or anything. I never did. But he was smoking cigarettes at the time. And I said to him one day, I said, "Mikey, why do you smoke?" And he says, "Smoking, it relaxes me, and this, the pressures, and this, the whole story." I said, "But don't you know the Surgeon General says that you're going to die if you smoke?" And he's like, "Oh, Nate Dog, you don't understand. It's not like that. You never smoke. You don't know. You don't know the feeling. You don't know the pressures. You don't know this." I said, "I don't understand. What's there not to understand? You have two choices in front of you. You have life and you have death. If you smoke, you die. And if you don't, so before you take a puff, why don't you just ask yourself? Why don't you just ask yourself, do I want to live or do I want to die? Oh, it's not fair. You can't do that to me. It's not fair." I said, if you need a motivation, the next time that you put a cigarette in your mouth, I'm not learning with you in Siyasa Sharm anymore. He's like, "Oh, come on. You can't do that. That's not right." He says, "You're a hypocrite," he says to me. I said, "Really?" He goes, "I understand. Do you talk Lashon Hara?" So I said, "So I talk Lashon Hara." I said, "Of course I try hard not to. I try not to talk Lashon Hara, but to say I never talk Lashon Hara, that's like really, you can't, everybody speaks a little Lashon Hara." He says, "But I don't get it. Before you open your mouth, why don't you just stop and think? Life and death. If you speak Lashon Hara, you die. And if you don't speak Lashon Hara, you live. I don't understand what the problem is. Choose life or death." I'm like, "Yeah, good point, He says, "And if you need motivation to not speak Lashon Hara, the next time you speak Lashon Hara, I'm not learning Mesilas Yesharim with you anymore." So I said to him, I'm like, "You're on." I'm like, "Bring it." And the next time I speak Lashon Hara, we're done. The next time you smoke a cigarette, you're done. Now, I happen to know, we learned the rest of the year. I happen to know that I beat him, that he smoked before I spoke Lashon Hara. But what the chiddush of that story was, is that I went 3 days that I knew, 3 days that I knew that I didn't say a word of Lashon Hara. And I remember, clear as it was yesterday, that it was a Friday night when I broke. And the reason why I remember it was because we were sitting at the table, and I was thinking, because when you go 3 days without speaking Lashon Hara, which is probably might be the most I've ever gone in my life, that when you go 3 days without speaking Lashon Hara, I remember being so aware of everything that was coming out of my mouth that I remember thinking that as I was saying it, it was, why I didn't stop? I don't know why I didn't stop. But I remember thinking that, hey, this what I'm saying right now is Lashon Hara. But it took Mikey to wake me up to realize, because up to that point, you're like, yeah, everybody speaks Lashon Hara. Of course we speak Lashon Hara, Well, we try not to do it, but it's part of life and everybody does it. But it took Mikey to help me realize, it's possible to go without speaking. It's possible to go without speaking Lashon Hara. But the challenge for us is to say, starting right now, I'm now going to be makbid for things that are coming out of my mouth. Is it easy? No, it is not. It is not easy. But if we are proactive in having a strategy that you have our minds on things that are coming out of our mouths and in addition, where we're actually trying it, and we take one day, 24 hours, from now 7:49 until tomorrow night 7:49, I'm going to go without speaking English. And in those 3 days, my davening was just so much better. Because when you're in the habit of thinking what's coming out of our mouths, like that guy who was Shana Aleph who I talked to, when we're in that habit of thinking what's coming out of our mouths, so then it's contagious. And even in things that we're talking to God about, all of a sudden now we're also much more sensitive about things coming out of our mouths. And let's call spade a spade. Is that you have a guy, one of my rabbeim, he talks very slowly. And it's not because he's got he's got mental issues that he's got to talk slowly, but it's because he measures every word that comes out of his mouth and he's well thought through. And nobody's walking around being like, look at that guy, look at him, he's some people misuse the word retard. Oh, he must be like that because he's talking so. Nobody's saying that. Everybody's walking around saying, well, I want to talk to a guy like that because I know that everything coming out of his mouth is well thought through. Now, wouldn't we all want to be in that category when people look at us and say, like, wow, I know that what's coming out of his mouth has integrity and therefore it's where I wish I could be like that? I read the Rabbi Krohn story, one of those books about there's Dr. Howie Leibowitz. He was in charge of the emergency room in I think it's called Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. And it was a very intense job, the emergency room there. People in and out day and night. And he was the number one doctor there. And he's going through the hospital one day, and there's a code blue in the hospital because a woman collapsed in the cafeteria. So he grabs his stuff, he runs up to the cafeteria, and there are eight doctors there. They're trying to revive her, but nothing that they're doing, no CPR, no nothing. It looks like she's done. Being the head of the emergency room, so he's like, let me take a shot and see what's gonna happen. So he takes out the defibrillator and the paddles, and he starts once, nothing, twice, nothing, three times, nothing. And people are like, they're tisking already. Well, I can't believe it. The woman died right in front of our eyes. It's so crazy in the hospital. It's so nuts. And he's still going, fourth, fifth time. And everybody's like, come on, Dr. Howie. Let's call it. It's really sad. There's nothing we can do. And on the sixth time, the screen blipped. She had a heartbeat, and everybody's like, oh, she's got a heartbeat, and they started revising, they take her to the ICU, and it was a slow process, but sure enough, she recovered. And then afterwards, Dr. Leibowitz was thinking, should he go visit the patient to see how she was doing? He says to himself, I never went into medicine because I needed the pride for people to know, like, I saved your life. I went into medicine because I wanted to help people. Maybe I shouldn't go. It's a little bit of gaiva if I go because, I saved your life. It's a pretty serious thing. But at the same time, their last name is Kelly, and it's clear that she wasn't Jewish, and I'm clearly Jewish. And, maybe if I went, it would be a Kiddush Hashem for that people understand that, that Jews care about everybody. In the end, he decided to go. And he walks into the room, and before he even says a word, the guy sitting next to the bed of this woman says, that's the guy. and he gets up, he comes over, shakes his hand, and he says to his wife, "This is the guy that saved your life." And you know, he's shaking his hand. "Yeah, I'm Dr. Leibowitz. I just wanted to come check in and see how you were doing." And she says to him, "What am I supposed to say to you now? Do I say thank you? Does thank you do justice to what you did for me? Thank you is just words that we throw out that we don't really mean. But when I go home and I see my kids, so without uttering the words, I'll be thinking through my head, thank you, Dr. Leibowitz. And when I, when I'm doing anything that I enjoy in life, or I'm being productive in the world, and so at those moments, that's when I'll be saying and I'll be living, thank you, Dr. Leibowitz." So he said that he heard that he walked out of the room, and he says to himself, you know, how many times do we say thank you to people and it's just words, or how are you to people and it's just words, or thank you to Hashem and all it is just words? And he said to himself, you know, when I take my next deep breath, or when I realize that my heart is beating, or when I go home and I play with my kids, I'm going to say thank you to Hashem via my life and not just via my words. We could change people's days and lives with words. Even, you know, I know for myself, you know, when somebody says, you know, back in the day when I was on a diet, and you know, people said to me like, "Oh, you know, you look real." You know, you say to somebody, "You look really good." You know, think about it when people say it to us. What kind of effect that has? Or I remember one time I was leaning on the west side of Manhattan, and it wasn't one of my best performances ever. And a guy came over and he slaps me on the back and goes, "Good job." Now, I know I didn't do a good job, but just the mere fact that somebody mentioned, "Hey, that was a good job," just, you know, makes it even feel just slightly better. And what does it cost us? But the reward of having somebody feel good is just so immense that, you know, isn't that the way that we want to be defined as human beings, as our ruach memalala, isn't that the way that we want to be defined, as somebody who makes people feel good, as opposed to somebody who always has to get in the last word in order to prove that he's right and to rip other people down? Here at Zomof Nevinu Shabashman, that Hashem should help us realize the power of our mouth, that we should use it properly, so that first of all, you know, in the simplest reasons, so that we're not put on mute, but for the more complex reasons, that we should use it to enlighten people and make their days brighter and to help people, and that for our own integrity, that when people know the things that are coming out of our mouths are things that are seriously meant.